Sometimes we tout perfectionism as a wonderful quality, something to be striving for, something to be esteemed. But is it really? Or maybe is it something a little bit more insidious? We'll talk about it today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, this is Dawn Damon, the Braveheart Mentor, and this is my podcast, The Bravehearted Woman. I'm here to raise the brave in you, so hit subscribe if you haven't done so. That way you'll never miss another episode. You ready? Let's get brave. Hey, all you wonderful, amazing, beautiful, brave hearts, I am so glad that you are listening in today. Now, today, you're going to find freedom because my guest is coming to you from a place where, well, she found freedom. She's a writer, a blogger, a storyteller, a speaker who grew up in small town in Oklahoma. She's a military spouse, a stepmom to two adult kids, and glammy to five. We love that. I'm a glamma. But she's a career professional who admits that she once had a need for perfectionism and control, and it led to an unbalanced lifestyle with work and self-inflicted stress, illness, depression, anxiety. Today, she actively encourages busy women to seek balance in their lives. Would you please welcome to The Bravehearted Story my guest, Vivian Cummins. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning.
We are so glad that you are here because God has given you some amazing morsels, and not just morsels, but revelation about this thing called perfectionism. So we want to get to know you a little bit and hear about your story. But you do admit that you had a need to be perfect. Is there even such a thing as perfect? Talk to us a little bit about this thing called perfectionism. I have some questions for you about that. Where does perfectionism come from? Is it rooted in fear? I'm not enough, or pride? Or is it rooted in something more insidious, maybe a stronghold, something from the enemy?
I would say yes to everything you just said. I will tell you, for me, I didn't realize that I struggled with that until about 3 years ago. And so about 3 years ago, I just had gotten to the point in my life where I was really tired of myself. I was tired of striving. I was exhausted all the time. I was mentally and physically just beat down. And I knew I couldn't live like that anymore. And so one day I just fell to the floor in my living room and I said, Lord, I am so done with all of this. Whatever you need to do in me to make me ready for whatever my purpose is, because this cannot be it. I know you did not create me to strive and be stressed. So whatever it is that you need to do, I'm all in. And that was when God really led me into a wilderness season that lasted 3 years. I just came out of it. Wow. And showed me, I should say, number one is the balance. And then we just backed it on up. And God started revealing to me kind of some of the nucleus of why I was the way I was. And the one thing that he brought to my mind, which is such a vivid memory, it goes back to kindergarten. And I was 5 years old, and back then you got to take naps in school. And I remember having a little blanket. It was kind of like a little mat, and it was time for our nap, and I could not get mine to lie straight. And so I would fan it, and I would fan it over and over and over because it kept rippling. And while all the other little kids were down for the nap, I'm sitting here fanning this blanket. And my teacher at some point got tired of it. And she said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to give you a spanking. And I remember being just so incredibly angry with her for that. And it wasn't because she embarrassed me or yelled at me. It was because she was asking me to accept mediocrity. And even at that age of five, I didn't know what mediocrity was, but I know that I was angry with her for making me do that. And so as I'm lying there on this mat, I'm, you know, trying to straighten it out. I'm trying to get the ripples out because it wasn't perfect. And I could not relax until I had it perfect. And so God revealed that memory to me. And, you know, it's so precious how he works, because he was doing something in me. He's trying to show me, you know, where these things are rooted in to prepare me for the deeper conversations that we would have, which would be really what you've got is a stronghold of pride. And so that's what he revealed to me. But he did it in a way to first allow me that opportunity to have some compassion for myself and not beat myself up, because we were about to go through it. So whenever I start, you know, starting to feel a little bit like, oh my gosh, I'm striving again, I always look back to that memory of that little girl, and that helps me get through.
You've said so much right there, and I really do want to unpack this, because I think this is an important message for women, especially in our culture where women are always getting the messaging from social media or whatever it is. You're not something enough. You need to be more thin. You need to be younger or more beautiful, or you need to be taller. You need to be richer, whatever it is. And so that need of ours to be accepted, to be perfect, that is pride when we think about it really at its roots. Or is it also fear? Like, I'm afraid that if I'm not perfect, I won't be accepted. I'll be abandoned. I'll be rejected. Maybe the origin of this perfectionism, I have to ask you, do you think it came from something that was out of control in your little life at 5 years old, that you needed that control? Because it wasn't that you were trying to fit in, not at 5 years old. So perfectionism is the smokescreen for so many other potential issues in our life. How do you break out of that? I've asked you a lot just now.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, because God and I, we've already been through this, so it's fine. Okay. So, you know, I think sometimes it's learned behavior. And I believe, I mean, at 5 years old, that's when you're really starting to understand your surroundings and you start picking up habits that, you know, those around you have. And my dad is a perfectionist. And I remember everything around our home was always very nice and tidy and neat. And I always had to have, even at a young age, my room had to be clean all the time. My bed had to be made. Even today, it's a joke now with my husband. My bed's not made right now, and it is driving me crazy. As soon as we get off here, I'm going to go make that bed. So I think some of it was a learned behavior, and it was, you know, doing things to please my father. He's a wonderful man. There's nothing, you know, I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying that was a learned behavior for me. And I was trying to get that acceptance. Over time, it starts to morph into other things. And I think in the beginning, it was that acceptance. I think there's still a portion of that. I recently put myself through a little exercise about the bed, because I'm like, okay, what would happen if I didn't make that bed? And so as I was thinking, it was like, well, okay, what's inside me is, if I don't make that bed, there's a part of me that fears my husband will think I was lazy that day, or that, you know, I don't know. And so I'm thinking, okay, if I was the only person on earth, would I still make that bed? Probably not. And so there's that fear of the perception that I'm lazy or whatever. And so, like I said, it could be something that is learned behavior. It could be fear-based. And then eventually it morphed into pride for me, was at the very end of it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, because I'm showing up, I'm perfect. And somehow then that helps me feel more than adequate. I feel like I'm not going to look like I didn't prepare, and I'm, you know, not intelligent enough or successful enough. But also, is there a line between excellence? Because I'm hearing that excellence is good, right? I mean, when we go to work and people say, you know, well, my weakness is I'm a perfectionist, or I love it when people love excellence. But when I hear perfectionism, I think, ooh, you're going to not meet deadlines. You're going to take too long on projects. That's going to be a struggle if you can't get over your own perfectionism and accepting yourself that this is good enough. I mean, as a coach, you know, we say, make your bed every day. We say good enough is seldom good enough. You know, we say those things, but perfectionism can really be crippling and cause a lot of paralysis in getting us to move forward. Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what it was doing to me. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I'm in the process of hiring some new staff. And as people come to me and going through interviews, and that's, they say, was one of their weaknesses. And it's a trigger for me. Like you just said, I'm like, okay, oh boy, I can't have a bunch of little me's running around here, because exactly what you just said, you know, as I grew into my adult years and I started getting into the workforce, that was exactly what I struggled with. You know, some of my background is employee and labor relations. And so I did a lot of legal writing. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to get before a third party or a judge or something. It has to be perfect. Anything that left my desk had to be perfect. Well, I was working till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. sending out emails at all hours of the night. And that went on for many, many years. And so although my work product was perfect, and I was praised for it too, by the way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes as employers, we tend to do that.
It kind of becomes your identity that I do things right. I do things with excellence. I do things with perfection. And that does become an identity that we can be proud of. And sometimes that can slip into a bondage, right?
Absolutely. And I thrived off that, you know, and so it was just kind of a vicious cycle. I would have that behavior, but then I would get rewarded for it. So I just continued to do it until my body started telling me we can't do this anymore, started breaking down.
Yeah. Our bodies are so good to advocate for us. And we don't always understand that that's what they're doing. But our body is saying, okay, hold it. We've had enough. So in 2020, God kind of, by the Holy Spirit, woos you back into a place where he calls you to relinquish this control, relinquish this notion of perfectionism and lay down pride. And was it an overnight release and deliverance, or were you put to the test right away on that?
Now, keep in mind, I've been a born again Christian since I was 12. And so I knew about the wilderness. I knew that, you know, if you pray for patience, you better get ready. I knew that when I rededicated my life that day and said, I'm all in, I knew I was in for something. And it literally happened right away. It started with things that I couldn't control. Right. And so it started with both of my parents. My dad came down with cancer. My mom was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes almost. I mean, she was days within losing her eyesight. And so there were two things. And I've always been very protective, if you will, over my parents. It's just one of those things that comes with that perfectionism. You got to take care of everybody. Yes. And they were in another state. And so I couldn't get to them right away. And so that was very, very difficult for me. And then my own health started being attacked. And so one of the first things that happened, this was right before COVID became a thing. And so I had gone to visit my mom and dad. My dad was having surgery. And so I had gone there to help them out, you know, get them through that process. And on the way back, I became very, very ill. It was probably COVID, but I didn't know it at the time. But I became very, very sick on my way home. And shortly after that, within like 3 or 4 days after that, I got a really horrific bout of shingles, which is just horrible. If you've ever had it, it's the worst ever.
Yes, I have had it.
Oh, it's terrible. So got the shingles. And then just one thing after another, you know, I was getting a lot of urinary tract infections, just everything, heart palpitations. I ended up in the hospital thinking I had a heart attack at one point, had really bad chest pain and so forth. And this is just crazy. So the week prior to me landing in the hospital for my suspected heart attack, I had gone to the dermatologist because there was a spot on my nose that I'd had for 3 months. And my dad also has skin cancer as well as the other type of cancer he has. And so I thought, well, I better go get that checked out since apparently that's a thing in my family. And it turned out that that was nothing, but the doctor did a full body skin scan while I was there. I'd paid my copay, might as well. And he found a spot on my left leg. And so we biopsied it that day, and I didn't think anything of it. Literally, while I'm in the hospital being treated for a suspected heart attack, I get a call from the dermatologist that says, we are referring you to Huntsman Cancer Institute. You have melanoma. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. So I'm sitting there in the hospital bed, you know, they're feeding me baby aspirin. They have me hooked up to everything. And I just get informed that I have melanoma, and they staged it at stage 4. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just one thing after another. And then all of 2021 was basically just dealing with cancer. I had numerous surgeries and recovery and all of that. And so 21 was not a fun year.
No, I can imagine. Well, you're very brave. And that's why I wanted to have you on today to talk about your brave story. Brave, sometimes we think, is just, you know, these heroic acts, but it's showing up with trusting in God. And believe it or not, that's a brave activity. The human being, we want to take control. And we think by holding on to control, oh, well, it's an illusion that somehow we're actually going to protect everybody. It's a brave thing to say, I'm laying it all down, God, and I'm trusting you. This season for you with melanoma, did you learn a deeper trust in God? I imagine it just had to bring you to your knees in a brand new way.
It did. And this is how God is so good, so good. He started speaking to me in dreams. I've always been an avid dreamer, but never spiritually. And God started speaking to me in dreams. So I had to have a lot of tests because of the stage that it was. There was a concern that it had already metastasized into my internal organs and bone. And so we were doing lots and lots of different tests. And I had one prayer for negatives. That's all I wanted, just negatives. And God came to me in a dream. And do you mind if I share my dream really
Yeah,
fast?
No, please do.
Okay. So I had a dream that I was in a room by myself, and I was holding a manila envelope, an 8x10 manila envelope, and it was bulging. And it was addressed to me, but there was no return address on it, but I knew who it was from. And so I go to open it, and all of these negatives fall out. So do you all remember back in the day when you had film in a camera and you take pictures? And when you go get that camera film developed, you get these copper-colored strips. They're called negatives. And that's how you get copies of pictures made. And so that's way before iPhones. And
I want to say, yeah, no, I don't remember that.
I feel like I have to explain that because not everybody knows what negatives are. I knew what they were, and I knew in my dream what they were. And I remember in my dream, all these negatives come falling out of this envelope, and I'm just joyful. And I pick up one of the strips and I hold it up because that's how you got to see what was on that, is you had to hold it up to the light. So I held it up to the light, and in the strip was my husband, our kids, and all five. Well, I had four grandkids at the time. All my grandkids, they're playing, they're having fun, but I wasn't in any of those negatives. I wasn't there. And I was aware in my dream that even though I wasn't there, my family was okay. Everything was going to be okay. And I woke up, I had been sobbing in my dream, and I had woken up to my pillow was soaked. I had been crying in my sleep, but I had so much peace that, number one, I asked God for negatives and he showed me negatives. I mean, how clever and creative
is God?
And he also showed me that just, I got this. So whether you're here with your family or your home with me, your family and you will be taken care of. And from that point on, I was fine. I was honestly fine. And I had to go through, I mean, it takes about 10 to 14 days to get the results back for all of those things. And so I went through the rest of that waiting period and I was fine. Doesn't mean that I still had a little bit of anxiousness because I didn't know what I was going to have to go through, but I knew that the end result, whatever it was going to be fine.
That's the peace that passes all understanding, isn't it?
Yes.
When God gives us a word, that peace just envelops us and we just rest in that. For me, my experience is not even like I'm choosing to rest in it. I just become enveloped in the rest of God. And it's just a beautiful thing. You probably weren't in those pictures because you were taking the pictures.
You know what? That is absolutely amazing. Do you know, I've never thought of that. What? Thank you. I look at that in a whole new light now.
There you go. See, you were behind the camera. Well, that's an amazing story. And thank you for sharing that. And I just, for those that are listening, just parenthetically want to pause a minute. God has such amazing ways to speak to you, my friend, whether through a dream, through a conversation with someone. You're driving down the road and you see a bulletin or a, what do we call them, billboards. God has ways of speaking to you. Now we take that, of course, we line it up with the word of God, but don't miss the voice of God. Don't miss the language of faith when God shows you or is speaking to you. Grab onto that. You got a promise there that gave you so much peace. Mm-hmm. I remember when my daughter was struck by a car and she was fighting for her life in the hospital. And I had a very clear impression and word from God. It wasn't audible, but it was just really audible in my ear. In 1 week, this will all be over. And this peace came over me. And then it was like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going home with my daughter? Or does that mean we've had a funeral? What did that mean, God? And at that moment with that word, it mattered, But it was like the piece was so powerful that I didn't need to know. But what I did do was I exerted my faith and said, I choose it to mean this. And so thank you, God. And I'm speaking that. But either way, like Job said, you know, my God is well able to heal me. But if not, in the end, I will say my God lives. But anyways, so God saw fit to bring you and you're cured or you're in remission. What is your health thing? So then God teaches you this balance. And now you have three things that you teach people about balance. But give us a health report.
Thank you. Yes, I'm healed. So the type of melanoma that I have had, there's a pretty high percentage that it will return. So we are monitoring me, but I'm three years in, and perfectly healthy, doing well. And so praise God for that.
Praise God.
And so, yeah, so that was 21. At the end of 21, my husband, you know, he's retired Air Force and we retired in Utah. And that's where our kids are. That's where our grandkids are, our friends, everything. But there was an opportunity that came calling for my husband to take a position here in California. And we had no plan on moving to California or anywhere. And so we prayed on it and said, okay, God, whatever you say. And so here we are, we've moved to California at the end of 21. And so I had the opportunity to go to a Christian writers conference in here in California, which I would never have had the opportunity to do before. And it was only about 2 hours away from my house. And I was going through, so I'm still in the wilderness at this point, still, you know, going through all this stuff. I have one more dream. I'll make it quick. But I had a dream that, you know, I had just battled the cancer. Everything was great. I had this dream that I was in a road and there was an enormous, you know, like Godzilla size snake in the road. And there's all these people lined up on the road and they watched me slay this huge snake. And so where everybody's cheering. And as I turn to walk away, somebody says, watch out. I turn around and the snake rears back up and starts to strike. And so, of course, then I wake up. It's terrifying. But I knew right then when I woke up, that was God saying, it's not over yet, baby girl. We got some stuff we have to go through. Be ready. And so last year was a year of spiritual warfare. I had never experienced that in my life, but last year I went through it. So at this writer's conference, I was really in a very, very dark place. And I went there searching for answers and clarity and didn't know where my writing career was going, didn't know what he wanted to do in my life. I felt like I'd been humbled at that point, but I just didn't know what was next. And so fell into a lot of anxiety and depression, actually. And when I was there, I had a mentor assigned to me. And as we were talking through it, it was almost a counseling session. We didn't even talk about my writing. We just kind of talked about where I was and where God had me. And she took my notebook and on the page, she wrote the word balance. That's all she did. She didn't say anything. She just wrote the word balance and scooted it over to me. I was like, oh. And then it's just kind of funny because at that point, everywhere I went on this campus, somebody said something to me about balance. And somebody, you know, had, oh, you're a great balance of this and that. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So the word balance came to me about 5 or 6 times within a 4-day time period. And so on my way home, I was driving home and I just was talking to God and I said, okay, I hear you. And, you know, this is my testimony. This is my life experience. And I want to now take what I've learned, incorporate it in myself first, and then share it with other women because I see so many women just striving and working so hard and being so busy. And we weren't created for that. And so the three things that he has really spoken on my heart that I share at this point is, number one, keep God first. Always keep God first. Number two, self-love and self-care. And then number three, make time for fun. Those are those three things that I incorporate in my life now to stay balanced.
So I'm just going to repeat those again. So make God first. So God's the priority. And I imagine you probably first thing in the morning, I know that's my habit as well, greeting God, good morning, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, guide me today and getting into the word. So God first, and then self-care, which we always say is not selfish, it's self-care, allowing yourself to do what you need to do so you can sustain the call of God on your life. Amen. You can continue to, because this body is the carrier of the spirit and the soul that we're out doing God's will, right? So we got to take care of ourselves. And then, hey, that's a novel idea. Have fun. We don't do that very well.
We don't. And as I was taking an inventory of my life, I was looking at it and I'm like, I haven't had fun. I mean, real fun in many, many years.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I just posted something this past weekend. I wasn't in the mood to go have fun this weekend. So my husband and I are very intentional. Usually we take one day on the weekend. One day's kind of, you know, got to take care of stuff at the house, whatever. But then we set aside one day of the weekend and we go do something. And so I was kind of feeling a little frumpy and crabby this past weekend and fine. So I got online and kind of was looking up for some stuff to do and found something for us to do. And we had the best time and we met some wonderful people. The weather was gorgeous. We went to an outdoor art park and just walked around and looked at art and met wonderful people. And I was so glad that I forced myself to do that. So sometimes we have to be very intentional to add that stuff into our life. It's so important.
That's a great word. And I think that's a really important word. Well, we've had many important words today as we kind of bring this to a close. We've talked about perfectionism versus excellence. We've talked about the root of perfectionism. Is it insecurity? Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it a habit? And I think we say yes to all of that. If you struggle with perfectionism, we encourage you to get to that root and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on. We've also talked about dreams and revelation, and that requires a pretty close relationship with God to understand how we might be speaking to you. This has been a rich time together, Vivian. We have so much more we could say. And then we talked about the balance and the three things that you should really incorporate in your life. And that was time with God, time for yourself, and time for fun. All those amazing, wonderful things. What would you say in closing to someone who is listening today about their mind, their body, their soul, whatever it is that you want to leave somebody with?
You know, I mentioned it earlier, but God did not create us to strive. He wants to be our helper. And I would encourage all of us to let him do his job. That's what he wants to do. He wants to walk alongside us. He doesn't want us striving. He wants us to thrive. And so I would just encourage everyone to, you know, take inventory of where they may be having some extremes in their life and turn it over to God and let him work with you through that.
Beautiful. Such great words. And I have to just say this. I don't normally wear like the, you know, but I just have to say.
It's okay.
We are the national champions. Michigan won the championship yesterday. And football is such an exciting thing. And that was the fun that my husband and I had. We had a great time watching football. Dreams do come true. But thank you so much for sharing with us today. And hey, all of you who are listening, I want to encourage you. I've got a free gift for you I'd love you to have. And I believe that we've talked about putting God first. And sometimes you need help establishing a morning routine. I have a journal that I'd love for you to have. And in that journal, I walk you through how to establish a morning routine. And I give you the journal pages. Stop by braveheartedwoman.com, all the things in the notes. And Vivian, how can people reach you and find some of your resources?
Thank you for that. They can go to viviancummins.com. And on there, I have a blog that I try to update every week. And then also, too, I have some YouVersion app devotions, three-day devotions that are linked there. So they can go check those out, as well as all my other socials, Facebook and Instagram and so forth.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. Make sure that you do check that out. And all of those links will be available to you all in the show notes. This is Dawn Damon, your Braveheart mentor. I'm going to leave you like I always do, Braveheart. It's time for you to find your brave and live your dreams.
Thanks for hanging out with me today and becoming brave. If this has helped you, be sure to share it with someone and subscribe so you never have to miss another episode. For more about me, my books, my coaching, or online courses, visit dawndamon.com. And as always, be brave and live your vision.